Boo. Good morning, everybody. It's Monday morning. Yes, a brand new week. We're almost in December. Yo. All right. I've got to help us make it through this Monday. Leanne said she was sick yesterday and told James she wasn't going to make it. But thank God we can rely on Mashiane Sefuti.
Good morning.
Mash is here. Good morning, Mash. How are you?
I am good, thanks. How are you, Gareth?
I'm very glad you're here to help us through our Monday.
I'm glad too.
Yeah.
It's been a minute.
It has. So Mash actually was listening to our show the other day and he heard about the Bakuzis when we were talking to Cooks. Gogetso. So look at this. He sent me this video. Yeah. Look at how it falls out. There's the water. So you actually saw a Bakuzi, but it was full on the road. I thought they drove full. Them empty.
No, it was full of water. And the thing is, I was just actually, I want you to guess where I saw it.
Your Mash, you go to some strange places. I'm gonna guess. It looked like almost could be the East or West Rand.
Well, it is actually the East Rand. It was in Germiston.
There we go. Also a famous hotspot for Bakuzis.
The home of Bakuzi.
Yeah, exactly. Wow, we're starting at 6 on a Monday morning. What happened to, what is that? What is that? What happened to Dudes for Kamala in the studio? I don't know. What was that going to be? Did we promise something? I think Bitcoin, but you might just be a bit tired. You might have woken up this morning. Your brain hasn't really kicked in yet. I don't know. I mean, you could explain it to us. And maybe the rest of us will have to admit that we're the ones who are tired. I don't know. Let us know. Anyway, you have a good weekend?
I had an amazing weekend, Gareth. What'd
for
the first time in a while, I just stayed indoors. I just stayed indoors. It was so amazing. Some friends invited me over for some poiki. They made poiki. That was lovely. And then I just came home and I chilled indoors.
That sounds good.
Ah, it's been amazing.
Yesterday was lovely because there was rain. It was yesterday, yeah.
Rain where?
Saturday. No, Saturday evening, there was some lovely rain. I was at home and it was, you know, there's something like when we haven't had rain for a long time. And I know we shouldn't talk about the weather. People get very irritated. But there's something magical about like being indoors. Being all cozy in the rain. It's very, very special.
Oh, alone especially. It's the best.
And in summer rain is the best.
Ah, yes. Right. But you know how South Africans are. One drop of rain, they're like, yo, cuddles. Ooh, I need to cuddle.
That's no, I would have to hire a cuddle at this point. But you get those people, right? Didn't we talk about that on the show once? It's like the people you can hire for cuddles. Ooh. I think you can. Yeah, I'm not that desperate, though. I'd rather be on my own. And well, I kind of like, you know, there is nothing in the world that's better than over a weekend where you don't have to rush anywhere or do anything.
Yeah.
I had a couple of things I had to do. I flew back from Cape Town on Saturday morning. I had a birthday party I went to on Saturday afternoon. But then after that, I was chilled. And on Sunday, yesterday, I kind of had one of those afternoon naps, you know, where you go in and out of sleep.
Yeah.
And you're not really conscious. You're kind of having, it's a little bit dreamy and weird. You fall in and out of it. It just is the most magical, magical thing ever. Now, if you can do that while it's raining on a summer's day, you are the luckiest human being in the whole world.
That sounds magical.
Yeah, it's very cool. So anyway, that was the weekend for me. Busy time in Cape Town. So I didn't really get to explore or do anything or see anybody that I needed to see down there. It was busy from beginning to end. But Cape Town is always beautiful. I mean, like, just always, it's like the pretty girl. I said this in Instagram. I posted this picture of the view from the hotel room I was in. And it's like this magnificent city that just shows off all the time. Cape Town is like that very beautiful girl who has just the rest of the country, ugly friends, right? And all the ugly friends are like dressed really badly and have bad makeup and bad hair. And she just comes out and she's just.
Yeah, I mean, her best friend is Tebecha. So, of course.
We know what she looks like. Yes, that's what a mess. All right. Looking at the comments, Gareth, read my comment slowly. Did you spend too much time in the veggie garden this weekend? I'm congratulating the boys in the studio for starting on time and calling them the Kamala boys. Okay, well, in that case, well done, Flex and James, for starting on time. I mean, these are the my, you know, when you're handing out awards for starting on time,
yeah,
then your standards are pretty low. So I'm not impressed with that.
Okay.
I mean, starting on time, Mash.
Starting on time. That's quite a low bar.
But it's a very low bar. You
know
what?
It's end of the year. I know that it's now year-end function season. They're all starting right about now. So you already have some awards to hand out.
I think so. Let's hand out the Mediocrity Award. And this morning that goes to the producers. So well
done,
guys.
There we go. There we go. Yay!
Okay, so a couple of things we need to get into, because this weekend I saw already people are talking about sport. Now, obviously, I watched none. I didn't even watch the rugby on Saturday.
Yeah.
No, it's Saturday. I didn't watch it. Apparently, we won.
Apparently, we won.
Okay. So, yeah. I didn't watch it. James, I have to update us on all of this. sorry, guys. It's just never going to happen, right? Anyone watch George Martin take the MotoGP championship yesterday? This is Charlene. She said at the start of the show. No. In fact, when you even talk about MotoGP, I start sneezing. No, and as far as I know, George Martin's the guy who wrote Game of Thrones. So that's how uninformed I am on this. I'm sorry. And she says Brad Binder came fifth, which is amazing. Now, I know who Brad Binder is, South African. Mm-hmm. He's a very, very talented motorbike rider. He's obviously our guy, but I don't know anything about it, so. Gareth, sure. I was on a rooftop open bar for the rugby. The mountain was lit up green and beautiful. People danced all the night away under the beautiful skies. The Booker won. You can't beat Cape Town, says Gray. Again, mm-hmm. like the beautiful girl.
Yes.
You know, that walks into a party and everybody goes, oh. And then, you know, Joburg comes in and Kleiberg, and then fucking all the other towns that hobble in with their hunchbacks and their club feet and their all their deformities and their overweight. All right, speaking of overweight, let's get to this immediately, because people want to know. People have been harassing Mash.
Yeah.
How did he lose all the weight? Because Mash, by his own admission, will tell you he was not slim and trim this time last year.
Oh, I was not.
Right?
Yeah.
Have you done?
I was basically at Kebecha last year.
What have you been doing? Have you got a new sangoma? Is there muti involved? Is there secret passion going on in your life? What's happening?
So what I've been doing is actually I started working out, number one. But of course, working out is not all you need to lose weight.
Sure.
I actually learned the secret to losing weight that people even in Hollywood utilize is you have to kind of starve a bit. I'm not saying go to bed hungry. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that, for example, you have to start controlling your portions and eating way less than you used to. And when you eat way less than you used to, you end up starving, because obviously your stomach is this big, but now you're eating this much food. You're not filling it up. So because I started eating way less food,
This is revolutionary.
Yep.
So you're saying eat less.
Yep.
And you will not be fat.
Surprisingly, that's the solution.
Hold on. Guys, can we fact check this, please? Would you please get the scientists and the experts on the line? I think Mash is saying something very controversial here. eat less. Hang on. Let me see if I've got this right. Eat less.
Mm-hmm.
Lose weight.
Yeah. It is that remarkable. It's that revolutionary, Gareth. That's all it takes.
All right, everybody get your notepads. I'm gonna go into my notes app here quickly.
Yeah. This right, James so, on his iPad,
so
write it down.
EAT less.
Yeah.
Okay. And then is there a middle step or is...
So it's literally just that. It's just eating less. I started doing spinning. I do spinning at least 2 days a week.
How's that for you?
That is lots of fun for me. Spinning is a shitload of fun.
Really?
Yeah. It's like being in a club.
But you do it at the gym?
I do it at the gym.
Oh, okay.
So, you know,
there's a group of people.
It's a group of people. There's an instructor in the front. They turn off the lights. There's these disco lights in there. They play nice club music.
Wow.
And we just cycle the day away. It's
How long
lots
do you
of
go
fun.
For?
It's about 45 minutes to an hour. It
yes,
depends.
And your legs are tired after that?
Not at all.
Really? You love it?
I freaking love it. Yeah. Jesus. I just do the classes at gym.
All right,
I do
but
hits.
Let's go back to this earth-shattering discovery. All right. So I'm busy here on the internet, and I've just typed in eat less, and it doesn't say anything, doesn't auto-complete anything on Google. So Mash may have, you may be the first.
I may be the first.
Let's just, everybody, because this, I mean, this could be a thesis, a doctoral thesis at university. Mm-hmm. This could be anything. This could get you straight into medicine, you know, as a candidate doctor.
Certainly.
Eat less.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, eat less and work out. That is literally it.
No.
That is it. It is that simple.
Well, fuck my big black dog.
The thing is, the amount of people in my DMs at the moment asking me, how did you do it?
Are these fat people?
Of course it's fat people.
Yeah, fat people. So I tell them. Did you say to them, eat less and exercise? And they said, oh, no, that can't be right.
They fight with me, and their response is always, no, what did you really do? What did you take?
Yeah.
I'm like, what do you mean, what did I take?
See,
I
just fucking ate less. Fat people. They just don't want to hear it. You know? They just don't want to hear it.
They're like, there must be something you took.
They don't want to believe that with a little bit of discipline.
Yeah.
And not being sedentary the whole time, that mm-hmm. you can lose weight. They think, no, there must be some secret, like you're practicing voodoo. Yeah. You've got like secret magic. The Satanists come around and sacrifice cats outside your house every week, or you know, you're drinking the blood of infants or something terrible. Can't be that you just eat less and exercise.
It can't be that. It can't be that. I had someone fight with me in the DMs. They came to me and they literally fought with me. They're like, you're lying. What did you actually do? I was like, that's what I did. They're like, no, what did you actually do? I'm like, but I'm telling you what I actually did. And they're like, I refuse to believe you. And until you actually come out
with
that.
Did you check their profile picture?
I did.
And?
They look like a peach. So.
Oh my God, what a breakthrough. All right, so listen, you fat bastards. There is only one way.
The one way, and only one way. Eat less, work out. That's all it takes.
As someone who wasn't ever obese, but he was like overweight, he wasn't happy.
Yeah, I was 130.
Look.
So you're telling me you try to eat less food?
I love that little kid's face is the face I pull 900 times a day.
Oh, it's legendary.
Like, what are you trying to do? What are you trying to pull here?
Yeah, and I went from 113 kg, Gareth, to now 76 kg.
Is that what you want? 113?
I was 113 kg when I left here.
And now?
I am now 76 kg.
That's phenomenal. Okay, yeah. So listen, I love this. I think that's absolutely brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and of course, Bitcoin Boots right, because News 24, who are a scurrilous, no longer news, but just clickbait and propaganda organization, will no doubt grab that clip and say, Gareth Cliff organizes and encourages the poor to starve themselves. Watch. That's what's going to be next. Fatphobic Gareth Cliff. Watch. It's all going to come.
Yep.
All right. So here we go. Lots of people just can't believe this. Even in the comments, we've got fat people who don't believe it. Tabo says, probably Gareth, people came from Kwa Kwa. He's probably sacrificing cats and virgins. See?
Yeah.
Like even Tabo doesn't believe you. Percy says Lindsay was just cleaning space for her drugs. I don't want to know what that has to do with. I'm assuming Lindsay Lohan.
I am not sure
when
at all.
When it's drugs and Lindsay in a sentence, that's what
it's
I
only
imagine.
Lindsay Lohan, yeah.
Can only be. Raven says people don't like hearing that. It's not easy. It's too hard. That's exactly the problem, right?
Yeah, so they'd rather fight than just say, okay, let me try that.
Or think it's magic.
Yeah.
I mean, we even interviewed that guy who wrote a book about Ozempic.
Yes.
Which is now what all the people, because what Ozempic does is it basically creates the feeling of being full mm-hmm. in your head.
Yeah.
So it tells your body you're full and then you don't eat anymore. But most people don't realize that you can switch that feeling on. You can just go like Mash said. Yeah. I mean, he explained it and I'm taking the piss a little bit here, but this is a very big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Like I can go, I think I'm going to stop eating now. I'm going to pretend I'm full because that's what Ozempic does.
Yeah.
And then you won't be. And you won't be fat. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, I still got a way to go, but this is proof positive.
Yeah.
Mashene, thank you. How to lose weight. Eat less food. No need to complicate it. You're welcome. See, the fact that you're pulling up these pictures just off a very, very lazy Google search just proves that this is true. Hmm?
It is an absolute fact. And nobody wants to believe me. So I thought, you know what? Let me just tell the audience on the show. I'm sure they'll believe me.
I appreciate you.
And we'll just take it from there. Yeah. But to break it down, what I do is I do 18-hour intermittent fasting.
Oh, wow.
So I start eating from 12 p.m. Uh-huh. And then I stop eating at 6 p.m. And I have one, I'd say, pretty reasonable meal in the afternoon after 12 p.m., high-protein meal. And then I just snack throughout the day. And then at 6 p.m., that's when I come back home from gym. I just have a protein shake. And then I just snack a little bit. And then that's it for me.
No big supper.
No big supper.
No mashiane, massive chisanyama.
No mashiane, massive chisanyama this time around. it's just those small adjustments. And also realizing how easy it is. From my own personal experience, actually, it just makes me want to scream it from the rooftops to people that it is so easy.
They'll kill you. They'll shoot you down from those rooftops because they don't want to hear it, Mash.
Yeah, nobody does.
No.
Because nobody wants to implement discipline into their lives.
Oh, man. Just keep on screaming that message. I think it's very, very powerful. All right, so let's look at a couple of things here. I just want to show you this. This is from the ancient Egyptians. While we're on some wisdom that people need to know.
Yeah.
The ancient Egyptians, who were the first people really to invent the calendar to give us months and to give us days and to give us years and all the rest of it to work out according to the stars and the moon, how the whole cycle works. This is them. A picture of them. Ancient Egyptians had 12 months of exactly 30 days each, which sounds just like us, except each month was exactly 30 days. And then they left open 5 days of partying at the end of the year.
Oh, so that was their December.
That was their December. And then obviously every other year.
Yeah.
They you know, they're sometimes because of the leap year thing, they hadn't worked that out yet. So that they left out completely. But 12 months, 30 days. Doesn't that make sense?
Then
you don't have to worry.
Sense.
Is today February the 29th? Am I being paid today?
Yeah.
Is it the 28th? How many days in March? How many days in November?
Yeah.
You don't want to think about these things.
No.
30 days each per month, 5 days at the end of the year for partying. Don't you think that's great?
So they were like, okay, so it's been 30 days since the last party. It's been 60 days since the last party.
There we go.
So it's the party they
120
they
days since party.
Yeah. 600 days. I mean, 200 days since party. Since it's 1 5-day party a year.
Exactly. Yeah, you have one big... Imagine how drunk and how crazy they went for 5 solid days. They just party at the end of the year.
Yo, Gareth, you know, I was telling you something. It was 138 days since party when I was telling you about it. And
I love that.
Oh, I love that. I'm going to start
very,
saying
very cool.
That.
So that's the ancient Egyptians.
That is
then
wild.
I found this. This is pretty amazing too. Oh, and speaking of that time of year, a great video that surfaces every now and then of a bunch of goths under a bridge who take themselves very seriously. But this time there's a bit of music here that will remind you what time of year is coming.
Ooh.
Yep, you know what I'm talking about. Watch them.
Aww. Oh my word.
All right. you know, there's something about people who take something super seriously when the rest of us don't that makes it extremely funny. I mean, the way they dance, the way they dress, the whole thing is terrible.
Oh, geez.
Bunch of goths.
It's a lifestyle.
A terrible lifestyle.
A weird one. A very weird one.
Of course, this weekend, there was something else. I actually heard about this at the birthday party I was at on Saturday.
Okay.
Because I drove there and back. Ooh. And they reminded me that on Sunday was that stupid cycle race they do every year. You know, the 947 cycle race.
Was it the 947?
Yesterday.
Yesterday?
Yesterday.
I didn't hear anything about it. Usually, it's like all over the place.
They warned. Well, nobody cares because stupid cyclists, right? I mean, it's just terrible. So Ben posted this thing, and I thought it was a very good point.
Yeah.
So I look at this. He says, cyclists On this day of the annual 947 cycle race, I ask you once again to ask yourself, was your cardio session worthy of blocking our roads and bringing the city to a standstill? If you didn't win or record a personal best, was it really worth it? That's a good point because let's say my hobby is Monopoly.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If I really love Monopoly, I don't go and block the fucking public roads to play Monopoly. If I love Frisbee, I don't go into the N1 during peak time traffic, stop the cars and go, I'm terribly sorry. I have to play Frisbee. Me. I'm going to take over the whole city of Johannesburg, the most important powerhouse of the economy.
Yeah.
And I want to ride my little bicycle along a road which everybody else needs to use because they need to get to and fro. It's just maybe a Sunday, but there's still stuff to do.
Certainly.
If I like model airplane flying, I do not use the R21 as my runway.
Yeah.
Do I? I don't get to chase everyone else out of Johannesburg and force them to have to go back routes and plan their trip and have to wait in traffic and all of this stuff just because I want to play my game. So what the hell do cyclists think they're doing? And as Ben says, fine, if you've got a personal best or you won, great. When the person who wins the 947 cycle race, if that's still what it's called, who knows?
Yeah.
Once that person has crossed the finish line, the rest of you can fuck off home. It's over. No one cares if you came 212th in the 947 cycle race. There's nobody who's ever asked in the whole of human history, so did you come 227th or 229th in the 947 cycle race?
Mm-hmm. Nobody's ever asked that.
Am I missing anything?
No, nothing at all. And also, you know, these people are, it's just very selfish people, number one.
Very selfish people.
It's
Thank
all
you.
About me. And you ask them, what number did you come out? No, like I did it for like the experience. For the experience. Oh. That's their favorite line.
Please.
Their favorite line. It's like marathon runners as well. Oh. What number did you come? No, I came number 872, but it was for the experience.
Well, I'm then, like, okay. Well, then why don't you just run around in your garden?
Certainly.
Or in the parking lot of your complex. Why don't you build a little track there where everybody else won't be disadvantaged or inconvenienced and you just run around there? Why don't you run around your own dining room? How about that? You don't have to involve everyone else. Imagine if I made my hobby everyone else's problem. I like architecture. Imagine if I just put up my amateur architecture everywhere, just in the middle of the city.
Just freaking everywhere.
Without permission.
Yeah.
Just did it. Just suddenly built something. Imagine if... My other hobby, inorganic chemistry. Imagine if I'm just doing fucking chemical experiments.
Yeah.
In the middle of Ellis Park.
Yeah.
Without permission.
Certainly. That's exactly
how
it
me.
Is.
You would hate me.
Everybody
Imagine if
would.
I stop the rugby. I just want to quickly blow something up in the middle of the field.
Yeah. That's straight up how it is.
It's unbelievable to me that these people, you know, they think because they're on a bicycle. And by the way, we've invented better things since bicycles, like cars. How about that?
Motorcycles.
So many things. We were just talking about Brad Binder and the MotoGP. We talked about Formula One. Mm-hmm. You know, these are things that people do with advanced, incredibly complex machines that human ingenuity and genius engineers have come up with. But you still want to go on a pedal bicycle. It's just embarrassing. I mean, and in those outfits, those disgusting outfits, those tight fucking pants.
I've always wondered about the cycling. Is it like, what do you call it? Those Saturday run clubs.
Yeah.
Because you know at those, that everybody's screwing everyone.
Exactly what it is.
So are they screwing each other as well at the cycle clubs as well?
I hope not. Because,
with those pants. I mean, what are you, you know, what are you trying to achieve with
those outfits?
Pants?
I don't think anyone's attracted. Anyway, Judas says the race happened on Sunday, not during the week. Here we go. Some people are standing up for these guys. Sunday, you had to head to church and walk back home and chill. Plus, it's about the experience. Ben has no place to complain, though. Well, why? He didn't take part.
I do think, it is. It is for the experience. And I do like the fact that it was on Sunday. Is it always on Sunday? The 947?
Yeah. That's a question for 947, Gareth. Cyclists join the race because it's there. They don't block the roads. 947 does. Cyclists cycle every day, but they don't block the roads. Listen, they do marathons. This has got nothing to do with cyclists, but they do marathons. Once a year, they do a marathon at my on my street, and then I can't leave my house. Again, I've never blocked my street.
Yeah, just join them. Just join them.
You don't get... I'm not going to join them, Mash. I refuse. On the bright side, cyclists have higher rates of sterility. Yes, that's true, because their balls are squashed on the saddle of the seat.
Okay. Mm. Oh, it adds up. Yeah.
Yeah. So maybe, you know, well, that balances... Yeah. It balances itself out. On the bright side, they have higher states of rates of sterility is true. Fact check that. Yes, it's true. Very good. Okay. In Pretoria, they close the suburbs for the runners. Where? I haven't seen that.
What?
Do they do it?
Yo, I've never seen that either.
No, I don't. But anyway, I suppose.
Yeah.
It happens once a year. Didn't affect me this year. I'm not particularly perturbed about it this year. I just don't think anyone should have the right to shut down public services just because they want to do something stupid like be on a bicycle.
But you know, Gareth, I actually discovered a new way. There's a new way to just calm yourself down. To just chill out. So while the people are cycling out in the streets, you can actually calm down, chill out, you know, take a bit of a hoosah, as if you will. There's a new class I started doing at Virgin Active. It's called Sound Bath.
What is that?
And it's basically you get bathed in sound.
How?
And you know those sounds that, I don't know how to describe this thing, but you know those bowls, those glass bowls or metal bowls, and they use that big thing.
Gong.
And then, yeah, they hit the bowls or like they rub it against the rim of the bowl.
Yes.
I'm sure you've seen that.
Are we still talking about the sound bath? Is that that? It's that gong. It's like that.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. It's the gong. And
so what do you do? Are you sitting cross-legged going gong, long, long, long?
So you actually lay down for an hour. So Vision Active has introduced this class.
And then someone rubs the rim of your bowl.
And then she rubs the rim of the bowl with this thick thing that she holds. I know what it's called.
Thing.
And I just lay there and just take it and just take the vibrations. And it is so amazing. I started doing this class last week. So it happens twice a week at my gym, Wednesdays and Sundays in the evenings.
Okay.
And you just get in there and they even put out blankets. How sweet is that of them?
Wow.
They even put out blankets and you just lay there and take it.
Should we call the police? sounds like, this doesn't sound like a... Wow. They rub your rim with something thick. You get a blanket.
It is absolutely amazing. I actually sent James a clip of Soundbath as well.
Okay, well, let's have a look just so that we know that this isn't dangerous.
Yes.
It is
so relaxing, Gareth. It is so therapeutic. I was also looking down on it until recently, and I was like, damn, this is actually really good. I feel amazing. I'm much happier.
I mean, listen, you really should be sponsored by Virgin Active.
Oh, I definitely should.
I mean, they should be. They should. No, really, because you've told us this morning about your spinning classes.
Yeah.
You've told us about how you do the other workouts. You've told us about the sound bath. I mean, really, you're making full use of the gymnasium.
I am.
This is a full experience for you.
For me, it's all about...
You probably spend hours a week there.
I don't. I go to gym 3-4 days a week.
Okay.
It's not that much. And for an hour each time.
I know. Well.
Yeah. Sure. My thing is, if I'm paying for it, I have to use it. You know?
I think that you are a proof of the fact that they're trying to get people to think of fitness and wellness as a lifestyle.
Certainly.
So if anyone from there is listening, you, this is your man. I mean, why waste your time with anyone else when you've got Mash here? It's fantastic. Hey, Brew, you want to go to Virgin Active and go rub some rims, says Bitcoin Boot? That's a great pickup. Oh, here we go. Oh. So what's going on here, Mash?
That's it. You just listen to it. It's a man rubbing the rims. He's in the dark, so you can't see him.
Wow.
That's literally the sound.
That's the sound.
That's the sound.
So you didn't record that during your session?
No, that wasn't during my session.
Oh, no, I could see how that could be. Yeah, I mean...
It can be very relaxing.
Listen, they've worked out that the power of audio and the vibrations that cause certain sounds are very, very good for the brain.
Mm-hmm.
There's this... I haven't really tried it, so I can't speak with any expertise on this.
Yeah.
But there's something called binaural audio. Oh. So it affects both sides of your brain differently.
Okay.
So it's when you listen to certain music or certain sounds in stereo, and your brain has a very strange way of encoding that.
Oh.
And it kind of gets both sides of the brain stimulated at the same time in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
And helps you to either sleep or relax or deal with stress or figure things out. And certainly there's something to be said for this stuff. So I can understand why they would be including this under the umbrella of wellness.
Yes.
Is there anything else that you do? Because it sounds to me like you're really looking after yourself at the moment. You're going to live long.
Yeah.
You're going to be very prosperous. You're already a much calmer person than most of the people that we encounter. I mean, look at those two producers who are frantic the whole time, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you could see that they're 5 minutes away from a stroke or heart attack almost all the time, especially Flex. He's a big problem.
Yeah, I caught up to giving up there.
Yes. Yeah. And then you come in and you're calm and you're relaxed. You also told me, Mash says he doesn't drink coffee because he finds he has enough energy during the day. So are you doing any other things?
No, I just drink water, and then I just drink, I love flavored teas. So I'm not a tea person. Oh. I am a tea,
very
straight
good
up
for
tea
you, right?
person. Yeah. And I just love the different flavors. It's so nice to exchange teas with people as well. Because I have colleagues who are also into teas.
Okay.
So where is
it? So it becomes like a trade.
It becomes like a trade.
You almost have a spaza shop at work where you swap it.
Yeah. So it's been a lot of fun also. I mean, trying that as well. When it comes to alcohol, I still drink, but
yeah, sure.
Not that often anymore.
But we're still single?
I'm still single.
Okay.
I still
am. You had to think about that. He was like, well, maybe that, you know, there was that person from Thursday. That could be a relationship. I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, no, it's not. It's not. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, things have been actually very good, especially since the weight loss as well. It's like all of a sudden people are flocking like birds.
There you go. You have to swat them away.
I'm just swatting like hey, fatek all the time. And it's been a lot of fun though. But I've been loving my space. I've been loving having full autonomy of my own life and not having to report to someone.
Right.
Everything I'm up to. And also, I mean, I also feel like at this point in time, I feel like I'll make someone very insecure at this point in
time. Well, it seems like you've got all your shit together, and we know most people don't, right?
No, certainly.
You've got a routine, you're feeling healthy, you've lost all this weight, you're eating properly, you're doing the tea. It sounds like whoever you meet now has to level up to meet you at that, because you're not going to drop back down.
Yeah, my standards have changed completely. Now, people who I used to like look at and be like, oh, wow, ooh, you know, on social media in particular. Now I'm like, ugh, you're not in my league.
Are you on the apps?
I'm not on any apps. I'm just on Instagram, Twitter, my usual apps.
Okay, because when you were busy doing this now, No.
This, side to side, is the apps.
Oh, okay, you were
up
going,
and down is Instagram.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
oh.
That's Instagram. Yeah.
Forgive me, I'm so out of it. All right, so Mash has a story about this guy who is like the world's number one YouTuber. And I had no... Shows you how out of it I am, right? I had no idea who he was. Mm. I looked him up then, and it turns out, and maybe you guys can just find a picture of him as well. Mm. What is his name?
It's Marquez Brownlee.
Okay, but what's his...
MKBHD.
MKBHD. All right, so this guy's the number one YouTuber. So when I looked him up, I saw his face, and then I was like, oh, okay, I've watched like a video where he reviews a phone or something. So he has become... According to some websites, they'll tell you he is the world's best tech reviewer.
Mm-hmm.
And he's the number one YouTuber in the world. He's got more subscribers than anyone else.
Certainly.
And it changes all the time. But right now, he's at the top of it. But this guy keeps getting himself into shit. There he is. Okay, yeah.
Yes.
So I realized, like, I've seen one or two of his videos. But I had no idea who MKBHD was until I looked him up. And by the way, he's wearing a hoodie. He's got his own logo.
Yeah.
A whole thing. He's brilliant. He's been a self-branding expert. Joined YouTube in like 2008, from what I gather. And Mash is going to tell us now he's got himself into big trouble in two really stupid ways.
Mm-hmm.
Unnecessary. But, you know, YouTubers are figuring out what everyone else on the internet has figured out, that eventually your time will come where people will get pissed off with you. He's kind of brought this upon himself, though, don't you think?
He completely did, unfortunately. And it all started earlier this year. So it started off with an app. So he did a collaboration with some app development company.
Yeah.
And they launched an app called Panels. Now, when you hear an app called Panels, just the name alone, the first thing you think is, okay, so it must be cool. Must be like a Pinterest type of app or something. Very cool name. Until people discovered that, okay, this app is just an app for wallpapers. That's fine. Nothing wrong with that. But he was charging $50 for the app as a once-off purchase. So that's when people started getting upset because there are many people who actually went and got the app. They purchased it. And then when they got home, opened this app, tried playing around with it, they were like, wait, what? So I paid $50 just for a bunch of wallpapers. It's not even that many wallpapers. And one of them is the wallpaper called Orange. It's just the color orange.
Oh, no.
Yep.
Oh, no, that's pretty poor.
And also the user interface of the app as well. Very poorly designed. Extremely poorly designed.
What kind of wallpaper you got going on there? I'm thinking of launching an app with wallpapers to just improve.
My wallpaper is just a moon.
Oh, just hold it up to the camera.
It's just the moon.
Just the moon.
I keep my life simple.
So I've got this very pretty wallpaper, and soon I'll launch an app where you can get a pretty wallpaper too. Do you want it? That's nice, right?
Thousand rand.
It's all it'll cost you. You're going to have a great wallpaper on your app. And then look at my background of, I've got a couple here. I've actually got a folder of wallpapers. If I put these on, I could be rich. Is that what you're telling me?
Certainly.
I mean, look at all of these.
Yeah.
Ash, there's some good ones, right?
Oh.
Don't you think that's a nice background, right?
Where do you get these wallpapers, Gareth?
Look at that. Wouldn't that be nice on your phone? Oh, well, you can have it for a mere 1,000 rand.
There you go.
And because you listen to this show, I'll throw in this one for free. Okay? How about that?
How kind of you.
Huh? And then that one, if you're into like moody, like...
A nice boat.
Yeah, a nice boat. That's a nice one if you're into like Japanese culture, you know? Ooh. I've got a couple of good wallpapers here. 1,000 rand, that's all it'll cost you. So this mofo...
Yeah.
$50.
Charging people $50 for this app. And then on top of that, another more recent controversy, as in like 2 weeks ago, was that he uploaded a video, paid promotion video, where he was promoting DJI's new little GoPro type of device. And he was driving in a school district, in a school area, at over 60 miles per hour, which is too fast for
now,
that area.
What's the speed limit there?
35.
Oh,
and you can actually
see... Did he hit any children?
Well, he didn't. Thank goodness.
Okay, well, then it's, you know... I mean, if you hit a child at 65, the child's not going to make it, right?
I don't think a child will make it even at like 1 mile
an hour. 65 miles per hour? Wait a second. I'm going to just ask Siri quickly. hang on a sec. Hey, Siri, what is 65 miles per hour in kilometers per hour? 104.6 kilometers. Yeah, kid's not going to make it. That's quite fast.
That is too fast.
So as you're
actually
driving past the school, you put foot.
Yeah.
You get to 100.
Yes.
Children are crossing, you know, Scholar Patrol. Remember Scholar Patrol?
Yes.
You put up the sign, the little triangle with the kids walking across the road.
Wow.
Plow into them.
Right, go ahead.
But no one was killed in the MKBHD.
Nobody
scenario.
Was killed, thank goodness. But people were still very upset because they were like, look, this is a paid promotion.
Right.
So at the least you could have done is just take that precaution. Because also you're promoting a camera. Yeah, you're not promoting the car.
That's not very nice. All right, let's do some quick sport because James has got some quick sport for us that we got to get to Dr. Hanan. And we've been late with him the last two weeks, so we're not going to mess him around today.
You're damn right.
All right, so James. I don't know what happened. Rugby, let's start there because it was big.
Let's start rugby.
All right.
So the Boks did play this weekend and they did win 29-20 to England.
Okay.
New Zealand, they played France 29-30 to France. Quite a surprise there.
And didn't Australia play Wales?
They did. And Australia won 52-20.
Oh, wow.
Georgia also played Italy 20-17 to Italy on that one.
Mm-hmm.
Then
Mash, just for your information, Georgia is a country as well as a state in the United States.
Okay.
So it's the country of Georgia. It wasn't the state of Georgia.
Okay. No. We're learning.
No, this is what we do on this show.
MotoGP. I don't think it's George Martin, by the way. I think it's Jorge Martin.
Jorge.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Because he's Spanish.
Do I look fucking Spanish to you? No, then you how am I going to pronounce it?
He became only the fifth rider from Spain to win a Premier Class title this weekend after winning the MotoGP. Bafana also qualified for AFCON this weekend. We love to see it. We don't have to bring out the calculators anymore to figure out if we're qualifying, which teams we have to rely on.
Yes.
That kind of vibe. There was also UFC this weekend. John Jones did what John Jones does.
He's terrific. And didn't he also, he won. He fought very, very well.
Yeah.
And then Donald Trump and Elon Musk and
Dana
White, they were all there.
Yeah. Joe.
It was like the Republican National Convention. Yeah. I mean, President Trump's new cabinet were basically there. And he gave him his belt.
Yeah. Yeah, it was like these five super powerful men in the world at the moment. He just gave them his belt. Huh. He did a little dance with them also.
He did the Donald Trump dance. Uh-huh.
Then also in the world of fighting, Mike Tyson and Jake Paul happened.
Oh, I watched this. You'll be proud of me, everybody. I say I never watch sport, but I was at the airport in Cape Town early on Saturday morning. Mm-hmm. Everybody, some people had woken up, MASH, at 4 a.m.
Abel.
Yeah. And very, very large swathes of disappointment, it has to be said, across the board. But some fantastic memes, terrific memes, couple of things that people are in love with at the moment. First of all, Mike Tyson did an interview just before he went into the fight. He's being interviewed by the guy from Netflix. And he goes, well, yeah, thank you, brother. I love you. Gives him a hug. And then as he walks away, he's in his jock strap. And you just see Mike Tyson ass as he walks away. Very, very pivotal and I would say iconic moment historic in the world of
you're
sport.
Right.
Very good.
Jake Paul did end up winning that fight by unanimous decision.
But Mike Tyson didn't get knocked out.
No, he didn't.
Yeah. He stayed on his feet the whole time. Mm. Bear in mind, the man's almost 60 years old. I think he's got a lot to be proud of. Mm. I was obviously rooting for Mike Tyson. He comes from a generation of boxers that, again, as a non-boxing fan, everybody knows Mike Tyson, right? So it doesn't matter who you are in the world.
Yeah.
I think it was very, very brave of him to say, yo, you want to take me on, Jake Paul? I'm going to kick your fucking ass, you piece of shit. But he didn't. He was very magnanimous about the whole thing. He went into it with a good sense of kind of, he didn't care about legacy. He famously told some 12-year-old interviewer, I don't know if you saw that, but like this little 12-year-old girl's like, hi, Mike Tyson, I just want to ask you a question about your legacy. And he went, who gives the fuck about my legacy? You know, what stupid question you got here? This poor 12-year-old was eventually like, well, that's very interesting. Thank you. I've never heard that. And I think she's probably quit her job as an interviewer straight after that. He was like
a young career.
Yeah. And I've thought about this. I thought, you know, wouldn't it be great if we could hire Mike Tyson to do like philosophy lessons?
Certainly.
Here on this show. Like you could do a minute every day of, hi, this is Mike Tyson. Today I'm going to tell you about existentialism. It's a whole crock of steaming bullshit. Don't waste your fucking time on existentialism. Now, thank you. That's all I have to say today.
And then he turns the other cheek.
And then he turns the other cheek and walks away with his jock strap. Great guy. I mean, I love Mike. So thank you, Mike, for giving us some entertainment.
I saw online that people weren't very happy with Jake Paul.
They weren't very happy with Netflix is the main story. Sure. Netflix fucked it up so badly. Yep. The streaming was a disaster. Mm-hmm. Someone eventually, thank God, I got friends in high places. They sent me a link to an illegal TikTok that was streaming it. I managed to watch that.
There was another one that had 7 million viewers at some stage. Like everyone just decided to jump from Netflix to some dude's Twitter. He's like some former football player. Jumped onto that Twitter. 7 million people.
Amazing.
Wild. Another sport that Gareth is very interesting. And I'm on the quest to get you into sport. That's kind of my goal. I know it may never happen. But I found something this weekend.
What?
There's a video for it too, if Flex could play it. It's called nose pulling.
Nose pulling.
Ever. It's called nose pulling, a game where two participants are tied together by a rope around their faces and they have to push as hard as possible to make their opponent tap out. But the reason behind this game will shock you. This game was created to make players stronger and better at dealing with pain. Would you dare to try it?
Is that a sport you'd watch?
Ooh, that looks sore.
You'd have to watch the Native Olympics to watch that one regularly.
I don't. What do you think, Nash?
What's the Native Olympics, first of all?
It's like in Alaska, they have all of like the tribes and different people. They come
also like native.
Yeah, people. It sounds like something from apartheid. Huh?
Yeah.
We have this native Olympics.
Yeah, no, thank you.
I think it would be a good idea for only the natives to take part in these Olympics.
Alles van die natives.
Yeah. All right. So no is the short answer.
Not your sports.
No.
I'll find one. I got one. I got a all bunch. Right. I've got them lined up.
So is there anything else we need to know?
That's about it.
What's that shirt you're wearing?
This is a Juventus shirt.
Oh.
They play in Italy.
Yes, I know who they are, James.
I only bought the shirt because I like it. It's the only reason.
All right, very good. Thank you.
You don't support them?
No. I like the shirt and here we are.
Mm. Okay, James.
Yeah. Sometimes it's not that deep.
Yeah, it's not there that you go. Deep. Yeah.
Nice.
You know?
I like that.
All right. Thank you, James. Let us turn our attention now to the great and powerful Dr. Hanan, who is our guest every Monday. We get to spend a bit of time with him. Mash, you're familiar with Dr. Hanan.
Certainly.
He's only the most in-demand psychologist in the whole of Johannesburg.
Yeah.
And Dr. Hanan he's just got a full roster. He manages to make a little bit of time for us on a Monday.
Mm.
We get a free therapy session. Sometimes it's for me. Sometimes it's for whoever the guest is.
Yes.
Sometimes we have an email from somebody with a very peculiar problem that wants to deal with that problem, and Dr. Hanan can help them. Mm-hmm. So today, this is a very good one. What do you think is more important? We're often faced with the dilemma of choosing between being right or being kind. I'm sure you've had this happen.
I've had this happen.
Yeah, where you're expected to, you know, a friend comes to you with a problem.
Yeah.
And they want you to either tell them the truth or help them in some way. And you can see what the problem is. So you can either be honest about it or you can be kind about it, because often you're going to have to tell them something very uncomfortable.
Certainly.
So I thought this is probably a really good idea to chat to Dr. Hanan about this, because he might have some very good advice for us. So how are you, Doc? Good morning. It's Monday. It's always good to check in with you. How's your Monday, your week started?
Yeah, my weekend has been just started. My weekend was great.
Okay.
Very busy.
Very, very good. Well, let's just find out quickly. Do you have a position just generally on being honest or being kind? And they don't always have to be diametrically opposed. In fact, a lot of people would argue that if you're honest in the long term, you are kind. But do you have a general position on this? Because I'm sure you have to tell people a lot of uncomfortable truths.
Yeah, well, being honest or being kind. I mean, what does it even mean, being kind? A lot of people think being kind is having some form of positive affirmation from the other person. That could actually be very unkind.
Mm.
If I stop it as a parent, if I stop my child from, you know, sticking their fingers in a plug and the child starts crying, to the child, I'm incredibly unkind. But am I doing the right thing? Mm-hmm. I think the question is not necessarily whether you're kind, it's whether you're doing the right thing. And if you're doing the right thing along with your kind of core constitution, then you are being kind. You're being true to what you need to do. The goal becomes the master, not how the people feel or actually how you feel about it.
Okay, so the real question wasn't actually even about being honest. It was about being right. So sometimes I'll get into arguments with people. I like an argument. What can I say? Sometimes, you know, someone will talk about something that's political or has to do with economics or society or, you know, whatever, climate change. It could be anything. And I'll have an argument with them. And sometimes you get to a point where you could defeat them very easily by being personal and not being kind. But you could also do it by just sticking to the facts.
Mm-hmm.
When is it more important to be right? And when is it more important to be kind if they are opposed?
Well, you got to pick your battles. Gareth, you know my philosophy about with regards to the coin theory.
Mm.
Coins are limited. The
number
one fallacy is that we think we have unlimited amount of time and energy and use in terms of engaging with the world. The reality is that our coins are limited. We wake up every morning with 100 units of coins and you spend it as you wish. The moment your coins are up, your body goes, good night, and you wake up the next morning with another 100. The aim is to invest your coins into things that create value. So you want to wake up with 100 coins and you want to go to bed with 101 plus, as opposed to wake up with 100 coins and go to bed with 99 minus. Yeah. You always want to wake up with a surplus. And the truth is, you want to engage in things that put you at a surplus as opposed to things that put you at a deficit. And there's certain arguments or certain conversations that absolutely put you at a deficit. So at the end of 2020, I might have mentioned this on the show, somebody came up to me and said, oh, this COVID thing is a government made up hoax. They want to inject us with 5G. And my answer to this individual was, cool. Because there was no ways I was going to invest a single coin into that conversation that I could rather invest into my kids, into my wife, into my friends, into my health, into my work, into my sense of purpose, into my financial stability and security, things that are meaningful to me. So before you enter into any argument, you could be right about many things, but you pick your fights. You could be right about the extinct, I don't know, animals or tree or plant that's going on in Afghanistan. You could be right about that. Mm-hmm. But ask yourself, does it have any value for me? Is it worth the investment? Even if you prove that person right, let's just say you made them feel horrible about themselves or even good about themselves. Was it worthwhile investment? Was it worthwhile investment for you? Did you have any alternative things to invest into that would have created much more value for you? So ask yourself, is it a worthwhile investment? Don't worry about being right or wrong. That's irrelevant. Was it worth it? Not in terms of your feelings.
All right.
But in terms of your goals.
I'm gonna mash any comments on any of that?
No.
Okay. So I'm going to give you an example. So I felt very rich in coins on, I think it was Friday morning, okay, in Cape Town. I had lots of coins, Dr. Hanan. I had a surplus. There was abundance. And someone sent me this message on Facebook. Okay. I don't even check Facebook that often, but here it is. Probably best, because I'd posted a ribbon, an orange ribbon for Trump derangement syndrome. Okay. Because there are a lot of people who are losing their mind about Donald Trump at the moment. Yeah. And I think it's funny. Yes. So I posted this thing, but I post things. I don't think about how it's going to affect people or whatever. It's just like, it's funny. Right. Anyway, this person who will remain nameless says, probably best to post things that are of value and not make jokes about awareness. Out of nowhere. So I had a few coins.
Yeah.
So I replied, stop telling people what to do. Don't you have enough things to keep you busy? So she comes back. Actually, my father passed away from pancreatic cancer, and it's Pancreatic Cancer Awareness Month. So I think before you speak to people the way you do, you should check your facts. So I said, why would you expect me to know that or to take up your cause? There are no facts to check here. You've mixed up your own experience, awful as it is, with everyone else's lives. I would suggest you spend a few more minutes outside of your head and you'll be much happier. And then it just went on and on. Look, I tried to jump out a couple of times. I said, some way into the conversation, I said, look, anyway, I'm sorry to hear about your dad. Let's move on. I've got to get on with my day. All right. So I wish you well. I said to her, got to go. Cheers. But she wasn't going to let this go. Now, was that a waste of my coins, Doc? Because I derived some joy out of kind of having a little interaction with this very bossy woman on Messenger. Or was it best for me to just stay away?
Well, Gareth, in your situation, you obviously are a public figure. There's a certain image that people have of you. So engaging publicly with someone that maybe made a comment on your comment or on your post has value for you. Because, well, I'll ask you this. Do you think that did anything good, anything positive for your image in terms of the public forum? Or do you think it was neutral? Or do you think it did anything negative to your image?
It did nothing, because the conversation that we had subsequently was like direct messages. So, and I haven't screenshotted it and shared it with anybody. I mean, I'm talking about it now on the show, so you could say it has some value, but you know, I mean, like, why she brought it up. I didn't have an issue with her.
She started it.
Right.
She started it.
She started it.
She said, my daddy's bigger than your daddy.
Right.
Right. And you weren't having it.
I just had a bit of time.
Nobody's daddy's bigger than your daddy.
So I had a little bit of time, and And look, I did eventually lose interest, so I jumped off the conversation. And then she carried on, but I ignored all of those. I haven't even read them now. But for a little while there, there was some value.
Yeah. So look, but again, you got to ask yourself, not value in terms of how you felt, because how many times do we have to say it on the show? Feelings are pathological lies. We don't make decisions based on how we feel. Mm. We make decisions that serve our goal. So as you said, like now we're talking about it, there's some value, fine. So my other question to you, was there an alternative investment that you could have made that would have created greater value? In other words, could you have maybe messaged a best friend of yours? Could you have messaged a family member of yours?
I could have.
Could you have done some, I don't know, read something interesting?
I could have.
Or engage in that time. Well, there we go.
Okay, I wasted my time. I was eating lunch at the time. I was on my own eating lunch, and I thought, I got a couple of minutes. But you're right, I could have spent that time better. So in other words, lesson learned. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Don't respond.
Yeah.
Never respond.
And you know what, Gareth? People will say, like, but I was having lunch. What's the big deal? The truth is, it's no big deal. But you know what? A little bit plus a little bit plus a little bit plus a little bit makes a lot, because you got to bear with not this woman stole three of your coins today and somebody else three of your coins tomorrow. And before you know it, you wake up and you're tired and you're lethargic and you don't feel like it. And you wonder, where did that come from? I had a good night's sleep. Where did it come from?
Yeah.
Well, it came from bleeding this hole in the bucket, you know, of coins over the last, I don't know, week, month, however long it is.
All right. Yeah. Lesson learned. Do you agree with that, Mash?
I completely agree. I actually have my own experience that I had quite recently where I had to determine whether or not utilizing my coins on a situation was worth it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was something that I actually posted a TikTok about this. I booked a holiday for my family and myself in Sun City. And then when we got there, we actually were checked into something that I didn't pay for. So I paid to stay at the new villas that are on the hills there. And then they put me in the flats. in the flats there by SVC. So as soon as I got there, I was like, this is not it. Started sending emails, started making phone calls. People weren't quite responding to me. And I got fed up. So I decided, you know what? I'm going to take this to social media.
Ooh.
I'm going to take this to social media. And I took it to social media. And ironically enough, it actually blew up.
Uh-oh.
It blew up on social media. And when it did, they actually got in touch with me. And they reassured me that, look, we're not getting in touch with you because of your viral TikTok. That's not why we're getting in touch with you. We're getting in touch with you because we're trying to deliver good service here. And I was like, okay, great. But I had to post that for you guys to get in touch with me. Before then, nobody was getting in touch with me. Everybody in your organization was ignoring me. So I'd say that was a good use of my coins. Wouldn't you say, Dr. Hanan?
I think so. I mean, look, you got what you wanted, right? The goal was to actually get what you paid for, and you got what you paid for.
So
it was a good investment, for sure. We always judge not based on how we feel. We judge based on the goal. So in that particular moment, you needed some feedback in terms of getting what you paid for. So you got what you paid for. Well done. You invested your coins wisely.
Look at that. Yeah. I'm a coin investor.
Well, I mean, listen, I've been reprimanded this morning by Dr. Hanan. Don't waste your coins. Don't let people steal your coins. And I thought I had it all figured out. We learn something new every day, Dr. Hanan. You see? Yeah.
Absolutely. Gareth, just remember, it's not your fault.
Yes, it's not, Gareth. It's not.
No, I think this goes against everything you've ever taught us on this piece of the show. No, it is your fault. I was a fucking idiot. I shouldn't have done that. All right. So no.
All right, guys.
Don't waste your coins. Don't let people steal your coins. And it is your responsibility to look after that. So thank you. Dr. Hanan, always good to...
Nobody's going to look after your coins. You have to look after your own, for sure.
No, they're going to try and steal them. They're thieves. There are thieves out there.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. If you leave your coins on the table, they will be gone. Do you remember that scene from... What's that movie with Nicolas Cage where he's a warlord? He sells weapons. Do you remember that movie?
Aren't they all like that?
Army of God. Something, I can't remember what it is.
Anyway, there's a great scene in the movie where they have to fly the plane down, the emergency landing, and they leave the plane, and they have to vacate because the police are after them.
Mm-hmm.
And they leave the plane, and then the film speeds up. It's a great scene. And within 3 hours, the plane is torn to shreds. Every bit is stolen. And that's what you're going to get with you leave your coins on the table. They're going to be stolen. If you don't look after them, Nobody's going to look after them for you. Look after your coins.
Damn right.
Mm-hmm. And the Nicolas Cage
Lord
movie,
Lord of War,
yeah, from 2005.
Lord of War. Yeah, that's
a
great movie.
Thank you, Dr. Hanan. Right, we'll check in with you in a week's time. Ciao. All right, Monday morning, the Gareth Cliff Show. Stick around. We've got a whole lot more, and we will be back with Mashiane, and we've also got a guest popping in later on. It's a busy Monday morning. You've got to start your week somehow. Better to start it with us.